Plato got his five eye wills. God said, boy, do you really think so? He said, devil, this is how it's going down. This is how it's gonna be. Sending down my own son, strip you of those keys. I'm gonna take this chain, wrap it around your neck. I'll show you openly. Cause there will be no death or hell for those who believe in me. God said, Satan, you're gonna give me those keys. Jesus went into the pit of hell for 3 nights and 3 days. Satan thought that he'd beaten him, thought he got his way. But when the light of God filled that place, they all dropped to their knees. Jesus grabbed Satan right by the throat and said, boy, give me those keys. God said, Satan, give me those keys. And then he took his chain and wrapped it around. Well, good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you. Oh, it was a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch today. It is May 20th, 2021. My goodness, the calendar year is almost halfway over. It just seems like the time continues to just... The time has sped up. The days have been shortened, and that is for our... saving grace. That is for us, it is. But I do welcome you here to the Radio Ranch, and thank you for joining us. Have a couple of current events I want to talk about, and have a couple things on my mind from the scriptures I'd like to share with you tonight. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer. As we encouraged you last night on the prayer meeting, and as we try to always encourage the remnant to be a praying people, to remember that that's who we are. That's what, as Bible-believing, Christ-following, born-again, baptized, repentant, true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, what does that mean? What do? We are to be praying people. Now, that's not all we do. No, that's not all we do, folks. But I hope that you temper and begin everything that you do with prayer. That... you start your day off with prayer, that you start your trips off with prayer. We're going to start this broadcast off with prayer. One, we know that it needs to be done, but two, we hope that it is an example to you. An example to you. And a reminder to you as well. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do simply thank you for this day. Father, if we do nothing else, thank you for this day of life you've given us, for this opportunity to get up this morning, to have good hot coffee, to have a great day, Lord, no matter where we live. But a day that you are still on the throne, a day of rejoicing, a day of work, Lord, a day of remembering your blessings and enjoying your blessings on us. And we thank you for that. Father, guide and direct us this day, I ask. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be with me in this broadcast this evening to share from the Scriptures with your people, Lord, to encourage them to love and good deeds, to help them to remember that you are in control, that you are on the throne, and that, Lord, the things that are happening are going according to plan, Lord, to your great and perfect plan. And I thank you for that. Lord, we pray for those out there that have not met you, that don't have that proper relationship with you. We pray for them, Lord, that they would hear your call. That they would develop a hungering and thirsting for your word and your will. And Lord, the grace and mercy that comes along with that. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray for the remnant, that their eyes would continue to be opened to your glory. To your glory. I pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name, the name above all names. Amen. And amen. Well, remnant, May 20th. Can you believe it? The time just flies. It is insane how time just flies by. It is. Here we are, the third week of May already. Well, saw this headline today, and I thought, wow, how double-minded. And I guess that's probably not even the accurate way to describe it, but how things are put out by the ungodly to make it seem like that they're the criminal. Folks, did you know that there was an assault on women's fundamental rights going on right now? That what happened? A law was passed in Texas that is an assault on women, on their fundamental right? That they are... They are coming under withering and extreme attacks all around the country. Did you know that? Oh, it's a horrible thing for them. For them. Did you hear that, well, just Wednesday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill into law Wednesday that would ban abortion after detection of a fetal heartbeat, or about 6 weeks into a pregnancy. And the current legislation bans abortions in Texas after 20 weeks. Now, even with that, in the numbers from 2020, Texas had more than 53,000 abortions administered in Texas in 2020. And that's from the Texas Health and Human Services Commission. 53,000. And so, my hats off to Governor Abbott. Hats off to those in Texas that support that. You know, Mississippi has a law that bans abortions after 15 weeks. And they call those heartbeat bills, and praise God that some states are passing these. It's a shame. It is truly a shame to us that we really even have to do this. It is written on the hearts of the people, of at least the Christians in this country, it should, those that are of the new covenant, it's written on their heart that you shall not kill, that you shall not murder. And murdering of a baby, it doesn't get any worse than that. It doesn't. Now, Remnant, I know that there are many out there that just don't realize what this is. That they don't. That their thoughts are only on, if it's a young couple maybe, that their thoughts are only on, oh no, it was a mistake, and this is going to ruin my life. And I know that there are many that, well, that's how they think. That's how they feel. Now, there's many that just don't care. That's true. There are many that just absolutely don't care when it comes to abortion. If teenagers or 20-something-year-olds, however old, that's how the age of most women that have abortions are. There are many that just don't care, that look at it as a form of birth control. There are many, many of our people that just do not realize what this is. And what I was telling you about the assault on women's fundamental rights, this is a press release from the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, denouncing this new Texas abortion law as an assault on women's rights. And these are her words. This is the most restrictive measure yet in the nation, the press secretary said this morning. She called the law an assault on women's fundamental rights under Roe versus Wade. Critical rights continue to come under withering and extreme attack all around the country. Because, see, to them, it's not just about being able to have sex outside of marriage, and if you get pregnant, being able to end that. To them, it is about a blood sacrifice. To them, it is about killing, murdering. To them, it is about doing the will of their father, the devil, a liar from the beginning, a murderer from the beginning, who comes like the thief to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it's about to them. That's why this attack, to help protect innocent life, is an attack on them. If you get your power from worshiping and sacrificing blood sacrifices to Molech under the guise of abortion in this once Christian land, if that's where you get your power from, then of course anybody that wants to stop child sacrifice and the killing of children, that's an attack on you. And it's an attack on them. And so, Remnant, I really wasn't planning on talking about this tonight, but it just is there. It is. And I don't condemn those that have had abortions. I don't. There are so many, again, you can't lump them all in the same basket. There are so many that don't know. There are so many that haven't been taught. There are so many that they are lost. You know, Jesus said he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There are plenty out there that are lost. Okay? There are plenty that are lost in so many ways. And this is but one. This is only one of the ways that so many of our people are lost. In that either they've had abortions or they think it's no big deal. Now, for the enemy, for the Psakis out there that think that it is, and do call it an assault on their fundamental right, an attack on them, because they know what it is. For those that know that it is a blood sacrifice, for those that we've heard and seen reports of some women going in their orgies, getting pregnant so they could make that sacrifice. Well, God's got a special place in hell for them. Okay, that's not who we're talking about. That's not who we're talking about here. I speak to the remnant, to warn the remnant, to encourage the remnant, to exhort the remnant, to remind the remnant. Keep Governor Abbott in Texas in your prayers. This is better, folks. It is better. It is a shame. It is to our shame, and we should all hang our heads down and cry before our God. Cry out in repentance, because we even have this as part of our that it even comes up. But it does. But it does. Well, that was really the current event I wanted to talk about today, the main one. Just came up today. I was I was finishing some mail and just checking on the news, on the news feed, and saw that, and it you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When you read the Word, you cannot help but see that all throughout the Scripture, that God, who was it when he spoke to, Jeremiah, Jeremiah's call, Jeremiah 1, verse 5, verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, and this is God talking, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, I have appointed you. And so, folks, that was not just for Jeremiah. Okay, that was not just for this prophet Jeremiah at that time for Israel. That is for each and every one of us. Before we were formed in the womb, God knew us. And he consecrated us. And he had and has good plans. Good plans for us. Okay, it wasn't just... It wasn't just for Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles, turn to James. I read this last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and it kind of a light went off, and I wrote a couple notes down after the prayer meeting, and I'm kind of working on a little, I guess you'd say, a message here. And so, but let's go. When you go to James 5, there's so much in James. There is, at the very beginning, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. So he's writing to us, okay? We have been dispersed from the time of James across space and across time. But we are that dispersion. That we are who he is speaking to. Does that make sense? I'm not talking about space travel, but when he says greetings to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, okay, the dispersion is how the reference is, in the dispersion, dispersed abroad. We're no longer in that old promised land. We're no longer in that old Jerusalem. No, our people have moved from there through the Caucasus Mountains and to the settling of the European nations, and then in one of the largest mass migrations in the history of the world, in the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, and the 1900s, the Saxons, the Scandinavians, the Kindred, the Germanic, the Celtic, the Anglo-Saxon and Kindred people migrated to this new wilderness called America and came back together under one ruler, Jesus Christ, and formed this nation that we live in today. And so when James writes through the book of James, greetings to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, that is to us, remnant. That is to Americans, remnant. It is. It's not to those Israelites over there living by the sword and dying by the sword. That's not who he's talking to. He's talking to us. And so when he writes this to us, guess what? That's like you going down to the mailbox at the address that you live at and getting your mail that's addressed to you at your address. Right? You can't go to your neighbor's, you shouldn't anyway, go to your neighbor's mailbox and get his mail, because that's not for you. Might be a bill in there. You don't want to have to pay his bills. You go to your mailbox and get your mail. And that's what this book of James is. It's written to us. So I want you to know that. And so the instructions that he has, that he tells us, we talked about, you know, if you're suffering, what are you to do as a Christian? You know, if you're suffering and you're not a Christian, well, most people just, they go to the doctor and they, "Doc, I'm suffering. I need a pill. I need a shot. I need help." And in the physical, the doctor does what he can. He gives him a pill. He practices medicine on him. But for the Christian, now we can do that as well, but we have a little bit more that we can do. Excuse me, a little more that we can do. We can obey the Word of God. We can go to the Word of God. It says in James 5:13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray." Just read the Word. Just read the Word. Don't worry about what you've heard me say about praying. Don't worry about what you've heard somebody on TV or a pastor at church or great-grandma or nobody. You, the dispersion, greetings. This is a letter to you that came to your mailbox at your house. Okay? Your address. And I'll come back to that. I want to come back to your address, where you live. But that's what this letter is. That's what this is. It says, hey, are you? You open that letter, you go down to the mailbox, and you get this, "Hey, here's a letter to me." And it says, "Greetings. Are you suffering? Then you got to pray. Are you cheerful? Sing. Are you sick? Do what it says to do." Verse 16, "Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so you may be healed." How much clearer can it get? If you need healing, pray for one another. Confess your sins so that you can be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The effective prayer of a righteous man, prayer or supplication, crying out to God, can accomplish much. And really all that is lead in to what I wanted to get to right here, the next verse. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Okay, so now we go back to Elijah. So James is saying in this letter that he's written to us that we've gotten in our mailbox at our address, because we are of the dispersion. So it's for us. You know, if you get a check in the mail from somebody that owes you money, or the stimulus package that the government's sending out or something, and it's got your name on it, you're going to accept that. You're going to take it down to the bank and cash it or whatever. This is the same way. So accept this, because it's for you, remnant. Verse 17 of James 5. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Whoa. Elijah. We'll go to 1 Kings here in a minute if you want, and we'll talk about Elijah a little bit. That's where you can read about him, 1 Kings 17 and 18. Okay? Elijah. But and we think, oh, Elijah, like Jeremiah, this big prophet who God knew before he was formed in the womb and all. Just like you. Just like me. Okay? Just like you. Just like me. Yeah. Jeremiah, God knew him before he formed in the womb. God knew Elijah before he formed him in the womb. And God knows you and me, and knew you and me, and knew the plans he had for you and me before he formed us in the womb. Okay? He did. He did. It's as simple as that. I hope that you see that. I do. So Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Nature like mine? Oh boy. No, that's not the Elijah I read about. Yeah, that's the Elijah that you read about in 1 Kings 17. It is. Elijah the Tishbite. How about that? Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead. This is 1 Kings 17. Who was of the settlers of Gilead. So he grows up, and he's been sent to old Ahab. Old King Ahab. And so he prays and he turns and he says, ain't going to be no rain except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him and told me to do this. And so he does. And guess what? There wasn't no rain. It says for 3 years. In 6 months. Now see, that's more than a little drought. That's more than La Nina. That's more than El Nino. That's more than global warming. Okay? It is. It is. It's more than that. It's the power of God working through a man with a nature like ours, folks. Like yours and mine. Like, with the nature that, you know, maybe if he could, he drank a little more than he should sometime. Maybe when it wasn't the famine, you know, the widow takes care of him. But maybe in better times, he ate a little more than he should. Or maybe he had to take his thoughts captive and trust God. And remember the unseen and not the seen. Maybe he said things that, well, that just didn't sound like they ought to come from a man of God. See, he had a nature like ours. Maybe he got mad at times. Maybe he did let the sun go down in his anger, which he shouldn't. Maybe he got angry and did sin. A nature like ours. Think about your nature. You don't think about my nature. You think about your nature and you've got my nature covered. And in the same way here. That's just how it is. Because we are, as Christians, we are still here in the flesh. We still have the flesh nature that we have to overcome. That's for sure. But what I want you to see in this letter written to you that came in your mailbox at your address, because you are of the dispersion, remember that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. But there's more. There's more. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So you think there might be something to this praying earnestly? Yeah. Yeah, there is. There is. You know that address I talked to you about, that this letter that James wrote that came to you. Remember that? We talked about that, your address. Where do you live? Where do you live? Everybody knows where you live. I used to live on Thornhill Road that's where I grew up, on Thornhill Road in Winter Haven, Florida. And it was a good place. I remember my address. I remember address in South Carolina, right? And so your address, where do you live? Okay? And so when you get off work or you finish school or whatever and you go home, you go to your home. You go to where you live, right? You don't go to a different address and go in and open the door and take your boots off and go to the fridge and get you a glass of iced tea and maybe get a little snack before dinner and say hi to the family and ask what's for dinner. You don't do that at a different home, right? No, you do it at your home, where you live. And so you don't go to a different address when you go home. You go to your home. Why? Because you don't live at that other place. Okay? You live at your home. And so you don't go into somebody else's home and live there because it's not where you live. Now, let me add, that's in the physical. And hopefully I can tie this together. Where do you live spiritually? Where do you live spiritually? Do you live spiritually in a place that you believe this letter that James wrote to you? Do you live in a place that if you are suffering, that you pray? Do you live in a place where in James 4:2 or 4:7 it says, submit therefore to God? Do you live spiritually where you submit to God? It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So do you live spiritually resisting the devil? It goes on and says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do you live spiritually drawing near to God, reading his word, thanking him for the good weather that you might experience, thanking him for the safety that he pours out upon your family, the blessings? Do you live spiritually drawing near to God so that he will draw nearer to you? Is that how and where you live spiritually? It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. This letter was written to you and to me. So where you live spiritually, do you do this? Do you cleanse your hands? Do you ask for forgiveness? Lord, forgive me for what I did back there in 1983. Lord, forgive me. Do you do that? Do you confess your sins to him? Do you purify your hearts? When you come to communion with us on Sunday or whenever you do, wherever you live spiritually, when you come to the communion table, do you do that? Do you examine yourself? As the scripture tells us in this letter that we're given? Is that where you live spiritually? As it says in verse 10, do you live where and how? Do you humble yourself in the presence of the Lord so that he may exalt you? It's not that he gets off on us humbling ourselves before him. It's so that he can exalt us. So that he can glorify us and promote us and bless us. Is that where you live spiritually? What's your spiritual address? We know where we live physically. And you know, we don't have to worry, like I said, about you. We don't go to that other guy's house. That's his address. That's his house. That's where he lives. We don't live there physically. And it's that way spiritually as well. We don't have to worry if he is doing these things. Are you doing these things where you live? This whole letter, this whole book of letters, this whole book of books, as it says in James 1:22, you know, where you live spiritually, it says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Is that where you live spiritually? Proving yourself doers of the word, taking your thoughts captive, sharing one another's burdens, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, not how they've done to you, but how you would want them, treating others the way you want to be treated? Do you ask in faith without doubting, like it says here in James 1:6? Because it says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. Oh, God, give me wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom. I need more godly wisdom from you, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. And it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. Do you ask in faith without doubting? Is that where you live? Is that the kind of mail that comes, that you send out, that comes out of your, that comes from your address? Because these reminders, these instructions, they go to your address. They are to you, remnant, part of the dispersion. And so I hope that it does. I hope that it does. I hope that that is your address. That spiritually is where you live. I mentioned Sunday in communion about, and I'd heard it on the radio about, that with all that we have going on today, we have to have our cell phones. So many people have to have the news feed and the cell phones and the TV on in the background and the radio, and there's just so much going on that, and it's not just today's generation, but a lot of it is that they have it now. You want to know what the weather is? I can tell you what the weather is in Winnemucca, Nevada. Okay? I can. I push one button. Here's the weather. And here is, let's see, it's 60 degrees here. And in Winnemucca, it is 45 degrees, Winnemucca, Nevada, and rain. How about that? See, we can get it right now. And when we do that, we want more and more and more and more. And I heard this note on the radio, and it just clicked. And it basically was, when we are focused on everything, and that's how so many of us seem to be. We know what's going on over there in the Middle East with Hamas and Israel and the Palestinians, and down on the southern border and out in California, and we even got pictures from Mars. I can tell you about the helicopter flight from Mars if you want to know. We know it. It's just everything going on. But when we're focused on everything, we really are focused on nothing. Because nothing takes root. Nothing takes root. It's just like if you remember a pinball machine. How many of you, this new generation, they don't know pinball machines. How many of you grew up playing a pinball machine? Maybe just when you went to the bowling alley. Who knows? But anymore today, it seems like we are like that pinball. Just bouncing from one side to the other, flip, zing, whoo, spin around and up and down, tilt and here, and just bing, 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 bing. And it's hard to focus. You know, it's real easy to lose sight of that God is still on the throne. It's easy to lose sight that He has good plans for us. It is. And so sometimes, again, that's why, one of the reasons I encourage you to start your day in prayer. Because that'll help set the tone. It's primacy. That which is learned first is learned strongest and retained the longest. And you can apply that to every day. If you start your day, I encourage you. You know, do a little challenge. I encourage you. When you wake up in the morning, before you swing your legs out of bed. And if you can swing your legs out of bed, praise God for that. Thank you. Lord, thank you that I can swing my legs out of bed. I got a buddy in town that can't. That can't. No, he swings into his wheelchair. But in the morning when you wake up, even before you get out of bed, just say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for a good night's sleep. thank you for a good night's sleep. Now, I didn't say if you had a good night's sleep. Just thank him for a good night's sleep. Because every morning you wake up is after a good night's sleep. It doesn't matter if you were up every couple hours with maybe a sick child or an alarm going off or whatever. Thank him for a good night's sleep. You were warm. You were in your house. You weren't out in the rain or the cold. Probably weren't out in a tent or a sleeping bag. But if you were, thank him for that. At least you had the tent. Start your day that way. And it will. It will set the tone. It will set the frequency. Now, we all get our news feeds. We all get our emails, our texts, our calls. But it helps put those things in perspective. When we can start our day praying to our God, the God who listens. You know, it's a whole lot different than somebody that gets up and maybe has a little statue of Buddha. I know people that have that. And they'll go over and what do? They like rub his belly or rub his head, something like that. I don't know. I'm not Buddhist. Don't want to be. I don't want to know what they do. But they do that. They go rub their little statue of Buddha's head or rub his belly or something and, Baal worship. I don't have anything to do with that. But folks, we pray to a God who listens. We pray to a God who's written these letters to us at our address where we live. And they are for us. They are for us. And so, we do have to take time. As I read, if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. This Bible is timeless. It is forever. In today's society, it's just the latest, greatest. We live in a throwaway society. You use it today, or it's great and useful today, and then tomorrow it's old news. People used to joke about computers being that way. By the time you go buy the latest, greatest computer, pay top dollar for it, by the time you get it home and get it unpacked and get it hooked up and start using it, it's obsolete. It's time for a new one. Now, we know it's not exactly like that, but that points to how we've become in this society today of just use it and throw away, and then I need more. I needed another one, newer, 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 more, more, more. What's the latest, greatest? Self-help is like that. What's the latest, greatest? The Bible, folks, is forever, and the Bible is timeless. When we read in Jeremiah 29:11, that God has good plans for us. That's for today. That was written a few thousand years ago. And it was for that day, and it is for this day. Because, just as Romans 8:28 says, God works all things for good for those that love Him. How? I don't know how He does it. But He does it. I don't understand. We cannot comprehend how He does it, but we can believe it. And we can claim it. We can't do a whole lot about those all things. All things, happen. Jobs end. Sicknesses come. Sometimes people die. Divorce happens. Abortions happen. As we talked about earlier in the program. We make mistakes. We're just like Elijah. You know, we have a nature like his. We should, because he has a nature, had a nature like ours, the Word tells us. And so we certainly live in this fallen world. We do our best to walk in the Spirit. But we don't live a perfect life. But we have this handbook, this Word, and we can trust what it says. We can trust its promises. Romans 8:28 says that God works all, we know, it says, we know that God works all things for good for those that love Him. And so we may not understand how He can work these things, be it sickness or death or abortion or whatever, how He could work that for good for those that love Him. But see, He's God. He's God. That's what He does. We are the clay. He is the potter. And even if they're in making it as an issue with the clay, the potter can rework it. The clay is still in the potter's hands, getting worked and shaped and molded. That's why those examples are given to us. So we in our finite, very, very finite and ununderstanding minds, so that we can have a glimpse at what God is trying to show us. In these letters He's written us. You know, we've all got our work, we've all got the issues of the world, we've all got the woes that are just, the more you concentrate on it, the more you look at it, the worse it gets. The world's in a mess, folks. Babylon is falling. It is falling. It is a process. It's not, even when those twin towers fell, that was a process. That didn't just happen immediately. It happened. When the people that are awakening, as we read, awake, awake, O Zion, awake, that is happening. It's a process. It is a process. If you listen to our broadcast at our 24-hour-day, 7-day-a-week live streaming at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Right now, Pat, we're replaying Pastor's Power, Prophecy, Destruction, and Deliverance series. And that was from almost 20 years ago now. And in it, he speaks of that. He tells and reminds us, Babylon is falling. It is falling more and more. Their ground is getting shakier and shakier. More and more people are seeing that they, like Psaki, says, hey, when you prevent abortion, you're attacking us. That's an attack on us. See, more and more people are seeing that for what it is. They are. We rejoice because of that. It's answered prayer. It is. It is absolute answered prayer. Well, folks, that's about all I got tonight. Sorry I didn't get the phone lines open up. We'll have the phone lines open up Saturday morning. We ask you to come back and join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. You can do that right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network on Internet, at the Scriptures for America website, on shortwave, on WTWW. And so we do encourage you, Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 6 a.m. for you on the West Coast. And join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open then, and we'll be glad to take your call. And we encourage you to join us. Our address, if you want to write to us, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And we'd be glad to still get letters. Still, I haven't been real good about answering them. Trying to get into work a little earlier and get caught up on that. Sure trying to do that. We have newsletter volume 4 went in the mail this week. And so if you're on the Dragon Slayer newsletter list, you can be looking for that here in the next week. And Brother Jason was working on the online version, was going to get that emailed out. I think he got that emailed out yesterday. If you'd like either one of those, you can contact us here. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And we'd be glad to mail you a newsletter if you'd like. And, you know, we've had several people that have asked for back issues. We do try to print some extra and keep them on hand. We do usually have those available. Just got our 2021 catalog reprinted a second time, second run. Been sending quite a few of those out, so we have that available as well. And that is available at the website as well. Again, Scriptures for America. Well, Remnant, thanks for joining in. Thanks for tuning in. We do our best to pray for you, our extended church congregation, the Remnant all across this land. We ask for your prayers as well. We need your prayers, and quite frankly, we need your financial support as well to continue putting out the gospel, putting out the truth to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So please consider supporting us financially and with your prayers as well. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.
People are asking questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. It ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The gates of hell. cannot stand when we come walking through in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Said I'll pray, but I just can't help carry the load.